O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us. Behold, the Lord comes to save us. O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, the Lord comes to save us. O come, let us worship him.
You may be seated. The hymn is hymn number 12. The office hymn, The Advent of Our God. The Advent of Our God shall be our theme for prayer. Come, let us meet him on the road and place for him prepare. The everlasting Son incarnate stoops to be, nor let your faith and form puts on to set his people free. Come, Zion's daughter, rise to meet your lowly king, nor let your faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and all his scattered saints unite with him on high to reign. Before the dawning day, let sin be put to flight. No longer let the law hold sway, but walk in freedom's light. All glory to the Son,
who comes to set us free. With Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity.
You may be seated. We'll use the psalmody that is printed out. We'll use the first three psalms. The first one is Psalm 24.
Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory.
Psalm 50.
Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God has shined. Our God shall come, alleluia. The mighty one God the Lord has spoken and called the earth, from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around Him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God has shined. Our God shall come, alleluia. Prepare the way of the Lord, alleluia. Make his path straight, alleluia. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Alleluia. Make his path straight. Alleluia. And finally, Psalm 85. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you proclaim your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation.
The responsory following the reading is on page 211.
The first reading is from the 8th chapter of Proverbs. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the 10th and 11th chapters of 2 Corinthians. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here ends the reading. And the final reading is from St. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Here ends the reading. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Our sermon text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As this is the first time that our congregation has celebrated St. Lucy Martyr, I wanted to present just a little bit of her history. St. Lucy of Syracuse died about 300 A.D. under the reign of the Roman Diocletian's persecution. She was a virgin who was devoted to Christ. Some say that she gave away all of her riches to the poor before she was killed. Now, there are also several legendary stories which are designed to glory in her vow to remain in a state of virginity. One says that when she refused to apostatize, she was condemned by the Roman tribunal to a house of harlotry. And when they tried to get her to leave the Roman tribunal, a force kept her there so that she would not move and could not be moved. Even a yoke of oxen were unable to pull her from that spot. And eventually, it's said that they decided to burn her on the spot, but even that didn't work, and so still a soldier had to strike her neck with a dagger. Now, the pictures of her, as we have, usually includes a dagger and a palm branch with her victory. Some have, as this one, have a platter with eyes on it, since later she is said to have had her eyes gouged out before execution. Nevertheless, I'm going to tell you, and we'll talk about it later, I'm going to prefer the earlier icons that have her simply holding a lamp as a reminder that she is like one of the five virgins, the wise virgins who entered into the marriage feast with their lamps brightly burning. All right, so what is the point of celebrating saints' days? Well, that's made clear in the Book of Concord. If you allow me to read a couple paragraphs, Article 21 of the Augsburg Confession says this: "It is also taught among us that the saints should be kept in remembrance so that our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained by the faith. Moreover, their good works are to be an example for us, each of us, in his own calling. So, His Imperial Majesty may in salutary and godly fashion imitate the example of David in making war on the Turk, for both are incumbents of a royal office which demand the defense and protection of their subjects. However, it cannot be proved from the Scriptures that we are to invoke saints or seek help from them. Quote, for there is one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, who is the only Savior, the only High Priest, advocate and intercessor before God, Romans 8, 34. He alone has promised to hear our prayers. Moreover, according to the Scripture, the highest form of divine service is sincerely to seek and call upon this same Jesus Christ in every time of need. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 John 2, verse 1. As for St. Lucy's vow of virginity, there is a big difference between living as a virgin and a vow of virginity. Those who are not married are expected to be chaste. That is, they are not to engage in premarital sex. This virginity is quite God-pleasing. But according to the papists, a vow of virginity, however, is said to be a sacrifice which one makes towards God and then which earns merit from Him. This type of vow is not scriptural. The 27th article of the Augsburg Confession speaks about monastic vows, and simply put, it says, vows cannot nullify God's order and command. That is, God has order and command marriage. You don't simply nullify it by your vow. Later it says, quote, it is not alone God's command that urge drives and compels us to do this, that is, to be married and live in the married state, but God's creation and order also direct all to marriage who are not endowed with the gift of virginity by a special act of God. End quote. So, if someone has that, well, special gift of celibacy, then St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that that unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. However, a married woman needs to be concerned about the needs of her husband and children. And yes, a virgin may live in undivided devotion to the Lord. Yes, so St. Paul says. Right. But think about it. If St. Lucy happened to be one of those who had that special gift of celibacy, well, that's fine. But then her virginity is not something she can offer up to God. It was a gift. And it's what God gave her. And if it was a gift, then to receive it doesn't provide any special merits before God at all. Thus, to make up legendary stories which show her devotion to keeping her man-made unscriptural vow, well, that's not to be celebrated in the church. So what do we find? Well, here's what we find. The early pictures have St. Mary, as I meant, or St. Lucy, with simply a lamp. The pictures that come up later appear to have more of an emphasis upon her sacrifice, her giving and making a vow and whatever. So, prior to about 1330, you have only the lamp. After that, I'll just read a little bit to kind of give you a feel for it. In the Golden Legend, a book written, Lucy's mother is cured of a flow of blood by the intercession of Saint Agatha. So she's praying to another saint. This leads her to start giving her wealth to the poor, but her erstwhile fiancé then reports her to the judge, Pascasius, who orders her to be taken to a brothel. But the Holy Spirit makes her immovable. So Pascasius tries fire, also unsuccessfully. Finally, he has her throat cut. But before he can learn whether this will succeed, he is arrested by the emperor's emissaries. St. Lucy is then able to take communion before dying from her wound. And the fabulous thing, it goes on and on, you know, and they do this and that. Is that what the saints' day are about? No. The church has remembered her life because she was a faithful Christian. It would only seem right that a young Christian girl who was keeping the sixth commandment would be a virgin, yes. The Roman persecutions came and went, depending on the emperor, changing winds of society. And so it would make sense that if she was sought to be married by a heathen nobleman, that she might reject him. Because the scriptures say we are to be married to a Christian. She might have been turned over to the authorities because of Christianity. The point, though, to consider is what? What grace she received. Well, she received the undivided devotion not to her vow, but to her Lord. And that is why she remained as a virgin. The point is not that she was faithful to a man-made vow. Not at all. She confessed her sins. She believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. She was not earning merit. She was living a life of thankfulness to her Lord. If she was called upon to confess Christ, or even to face martyrdom, then too, we must remember how the Lord sustained her in faith in Christ. She was strengthened by Him to make a good confession even in the face of death. Her good work of faithfulness is to be commended to us. If we are ever told to renounce Christ, we should do as St. Lucy did and entrust our body and soul to Christ. But from where does this kind of faith come? St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You see, through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, especially baptism into Christ, we have been married. We've been married into our husband, Jesus Christ. Whether we are single or married is in this world is of no concern. We have been married spiritually to Jesus. We have an undivided devotion to Him as He is our only God and our only husband. We were married to Christ through the preaching of the word and the administration of baptism. We have been welcomed to the marriage feast of the Holy Communion because of our marriage to our head, Jesus Christ. No matter whether we are single or married, Christians are completely devoted to our Savior. And when we are in any danger or need, like St. Lucy, in fact, her own name refers to light. Lucy is connected to that etymologically. We do not invoke Lucy. No, not at all. We have our lamp burning. With faith in Christ, we cry out and pray and seek help from God alone. Just as St. Lucy didn't pray to St. Agatha. No, she relied solely upon her Savior, as do we. And just as she received the crown of life, so will you. Entrusted to Christ, your body and soul, you too will receive the crown of life, body and soul, and abide with Him forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Page 217 is the canticle, the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Graciously hear us, O God of our salvation, and grant that we who keep the joy with joy the festival of Blessed Lucy, your virgin and martyr, that we may be taught to be loving and devout toward you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we implore you, give ear to our prayer and lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you now live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.